Good morning. Today I want to share with you some reflections from the passage 1 Kings 17, 1 to 16. I'm going to read it. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath, the region of Sidon, and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We can come early in the morning to meditate on your word. And I pray, Lord, Father, that you would speak through this passage, this sharing, and be with us. Thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So just some context to the passage. This passage takes place during a very dark time in Israel's history. King Ahab had become the king of Israel, and the Bible tells us that he did more evil in the eyes of God than any other kings before him. He and his wife Jezebel led the people into worshiping, you know, false gods, and then they turned away from the true God. And in response to this, God raised up the prophet Elijah. And in this particular story, Elijah declares a drought over the land as judgment from God. So this passage, the little story why I chose this passage is because I think a lot of times when God points me to a certain passage, you know, more than once, and I just believe that it is something that God wants to me to look into it. So in SP Kids a few Sundays ago, the children were coming across this story as a lesson. And then that same Sunday, PSAM actually also used this part of the passage in his sermon. And also in one of my readings, it also came up again. So I just believe that, you know, there's something God wants us to dig into this morning. And in this story, it tells of Elijah how God provided for him and a widow during a time of drought. And as I meditate on this passage, I just noticed some key themes. Particularly about God's provision, obviously, his ability to use the unlikely, and the importance of obedience in experiencing his blessing. And I just hope that these reflections will encourage you all today. So in the first verse from 1 to 12, So I think the theme here is the unlikely methods of God's plan. So here God uses two very unlikely sources to provide for Elijah. First of all, it's the unclean ravens. And the ravens were considered as unclean animals according to the Jewish law. Yet God commanded them to bring Elijah food by the brook. And then similarly, after the brook dried up, he was called to go to Zarephath, and there God would provide a widow to provide for Elijah. And the widow was from Zarephath, and she was actually a foreigner from Jezebel's territory, a Gentile, and someone who was actually facing dire poverty herself. Yet God chose to use her to bless Elijah. And I was reminded that God often works through unexpected people, places, circumstances in our lives. And his plans are not limited by our expectations. And in my, for my own personal experience, I experienced how God used young children to remind us, to remind me of his promises and his goodness. So just a little sharing about the night before my grandma passed away. I think my grandma passed away a few months ago, actually, back in March, actually, 9 months ago. And then during that time, my sister, Kat, has been praying with my my nephew, who was 2.5 during those times. And then at night, we would you know, lead him in prayer, and she would ask him to pray, you know, pray for grandma to be with Jesus, to know Jesus. And then actually at the last night before my grandma passed away, she was praying with Clay. And then Kat, you know, took him by his bed and said, okay, let's pray for Tai Tai. Tai Tai is great-grandma in Cantonese. And then Clay says, pray for Jesus and King to come. And then Kat asked, like, oh, come over where? And it was like, oh, come to hospital. I'm like, oh, okay. Kat asked, like, oh, to hospital to be with Tai Tai? And then Clay says, yes. So I think during that moment, we didn't expect a 2.5-year-old would be praying, you know, would be praying for Jesus. And yeah, Jesus, the King, to come. Actually, that's even better. You know, we've been praying for grandma to be with Jesus. But it's true, you know, Jesus would come and, you know, be in the hospital with my grandma. And the next day she passed away. But I think this little childlike prayer, you know, this childlike faith really helped us and comfort us in return. And so, yeah, so I think even young children, if you have young children at home, you would know that sometimes the little things that they say, they can actually in turn be of great encouragement to us. So another theme that stood out to me is how God's promises require obedience before, oftentimes require obedience. And in verse 9 to 10, Elijah had to obey to go to the brook, Kirith. And then later, he traveled to Zarephath. He trusted in God's plan. And so I looked up. After the ravine was dried up, from Kirith Ravine to Zarephath is actually around 80 to 90 miles. So Elijah was obeying out of blind faith. So first of all, the unlikely birds came to provide. And then God didn't tell him to go to a nearby town or anything, but to go 80 to 90 miles away from the brook, and that a poor widow will provide for him. So, and then also the widow had to take a step of faith too in giving away her last bit of flour and oil to make bread for Elijah. So a lot of obedience was going on there, and this shows that God's blessing often flow through our obedience. It's not that we earn his blessings, but our obedience definitely opens the door for us to experience his faithfulness. And I think currently this is something I'm learning as well. Some of you might know, I've recently joined, you know, the ministries. And before that, I've been in education for many years. And to be, you know, in a classroom, in a learning center, school, has been a comfort zone for myself. But this year, I think I feel God's calling to take a step away from that. And I think for me to step into something, you know, really out of my comfort zone requires obedience, and it's not easy. There are many things to consider, like career path, finances, and all that. But I know God looks after all of us, and in Him, I've never lacked anything. So it's a small step. It's definitely nowhere near the level of obedience Elijah had gone through, but this definitely encouraged me. And then lastly, God's ultimate purpose is actually for His glory to be revealed. And what I find beautiful in this passage is how God's provision is not just about meeting physical needs. Ultimately, it's about revealing Himself. In the end, it seemed like the widow was the one blessing Elijah by sharing the little bit that she had. But Elijah, in turn, actually introduced her to the one true God, who blessed her with an abundant supply of food. And God is glorified through this exchange. So this reminds me that God works in our lives, whether through provision or through trials. It's an opportunity to reflect His glory and point others to Him. And I was reflecting on, you know, my own personal experience with this. I asked myself, how often do we give glory to God when I experience His provision or blessings through trials? In Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. So one of the things I love about working now in ministries is because, you know, we're always reminded to give thanks. When we have meetings, we talk about, you know, praise reports in house churches as well. Yeah. So I think through praise reports of other people or through opportunity for myself to share, we get to see God's glory working in our lives. And we, as we share, we are encouraged by one another. So it doesn't have to be, you know, a super big or supernatural experience to share. And recently the Alpha had a Holy Spirit retreat, and I had the opportunity to help out with the Mandarin group. And during the prayer ministry time, one girl was still exploring the Christian faith, and she was sharing about how she had a partial tear in her ACL. And then, you know, her knee was acting up, and she couldn't really walk up the stairs without feeling pain. So at that moment, even though I was just helping out doing PowerPoint, I wasn't really there to, you know, be a prayer minister or anything. But I felt prompted to pray for her since I had a complete tear in my ACL before, and I had surgery done, and so considered myself fully healed. So although she was praying that she would not need the surgery, and that was my prayer for her too. So I didn't know that she was praying for healing all along, but I think I felt prompted to pray for her. And when I did go up to pray for her and explain to her more about healing, I didn't know that she actually didn't really know that healing actually can happen. She thought that, you know, oh, it's more like it's just, you know, a comfort thing, a placebo effect. It's not really real. So, you know, in my broken Mandarin, I tried to explain to her that, no, yeah, it happens. God can heal today. And shared with her right away, you know, briefly about, you know, real people that I know that actually experience, you know, instant healing, supernatural healing. And she was genuinely glad that, you know, to know that healing can happen today. And she was open for me to pray for her. And after I prayed for her, she said that, oh, you know, her knee seems like it wasn't as painful. I don't know if she was really instantly healed at that moment, but I really do think that it's no coincidence that I was there in the room and I, you know, had the same injury, so she felt like, oh, someone can relate and at the same time can share, you know, about the how mighty our God is and that, you know, healing can happen today. So I think, I really learned to, you know, use every opportunity to, you know, to share when we can. And ultimately, we want to see God be glorified. So as we close, I just want to, encourage all of us to think about, are there areas in our lives that, God is waiting for us to obey, despite, being in a difficult situation or in impossible circumstances? Have we experienced, God's providence, through situations or people we think that, would be unlikely? And also, we can think about, am I taking every opportunity to lead others to see God through the experience that we have or through his providence? So let's remember that God's ways are higher than ours. He can definitely use the unlikely, and he blesses obedience. And his ultimate purpose is to reveal himself and his glory. And so let's trust him in all circumstances and be open to how he might use us to bless others. Yeah. So we will have a time of worship.
Trust me, and my time has come.
So Father, we thank you once again for this message, and my prayer that is for all of us here to have an increase in faith, Lord Father, to trust you, Lord Father, just like how Elijah did, and know, Lord Father, that your ways are much, much higher than our ways. We can trust you even though the situation, might be dire, or things might seem look impossible, Lord Father. I just pray that we will, as we walk in obedience, we will see your goodness, and through all that we would keep experiencing you. And that you would be glorified through our experiences. So thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's gather together and pray.